Scholarship and Spirituality by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. Spirituality is defined here as a manner of living which seeks to conform itself to the standard set by the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Some tensions between scholarship and spirituality are discussed, as well as some ways in which the two mutually reinforce each other. Scholarship and spirituality. Let's begin by defining each term. Scholarship, a manner of living that seeks to discover and understand the facts in some field of academic study. Spirituality, a manner of living which seeks to conform oneself to the standards set by the Holy Spirit in Scripture. There are some tensions between scholarship and spirituality. We want to take a quick look at some of these and comment on them. One of these tensions would be neglect of spirituality. Another would be ignoring or isolating one or the other, either ignoring spirituality or ignoring scholarship, or isolating spirituality from scholarship. A third would be misuse of consensus. A fourth, the danger of positivism. Neglect of spirituality. We may become dominated by our field of study to the detriment of things needed for spirituality. Sort of an academic version of becoming a workaholic. We get so wrapped up in our field of study that we don't take the time for spirituality. But we cannot devote all of our time to our studies or research. We cannot do this and be faithful to our Lord. This may mean that we won't advance as far in our field as we might otherwise have done. How we respond to this shows where we put our importance, what we are really living for, what we count to be important. Yet, we should realize that some spiritual people have gone to the top of their fields. Take the biblical examples of Joseph, Moses, and Daniel. Joseph and Daniel, at least, at this point in their career, when they were involved in, helping to run countries, were not only very devoted to what they were doing and very good at it, they were also very spiritual people. Moses certainly becomes a very spiritual person further on, and one who is the most humble man of his time, we might say, and we don't hear as much about his competence and his thing. He leaves pretty early, perhaps, before he develops as far along as Daniel and Joseph do. Ignoring and isolating. We may try to solve some complex questions of interaction between our academic field and Scripture by ignoring either our academic field, or by ignoring Scripture, or by putting the two of them in watertight compartments by isolating them one from the other. Perhaps we misunderstand the Bible here, and we make a strong spiritual-secular distinction of some sort, and so put them in separate compartments. Or we understand the Bible to require that you stay away from academic fields or something of that sort. Misunderstanding, I think. Perhaps it's only that we wish to get along better with our academic colleagues, and so we ignore Scripture when we're doing our academics, if you like. Or we get along better with our fellow believers, we ignore our academic pursuits. Or we isolate the one from the other so that when we're with our academic colleagues, we're only involved in our academic field, and when we're with our fellow believers, we're only involved in Scripture. However, God calls us to be fair. That's our responsibility, both to the academic field and to the Bible, whether this position is popular or not. It may be that if we're fair to the academic field, that we may become unpopular with our fellow believers, or if we're fair to the Bible, we may become unpopular with our academic colleagues, or in trying to be fair to both of them, we may become unpopular with both our academic colleagues and our fellow believers. That leads us to the third tension, consensus. We may tend to identify scholarship with the consensus of scholars in our field, or spirituality with the consensus of Christians. Now, we should say that if scholarship is really scholarship, we hope it is moving in on the truth. And to the extent that Christians we are working with are trying to be fair to the Bible, God is guiding them and protecting them from error and that sort of thing. That does not function as a blank check in either area. It's not true that the consensus of scholars in a field is necessarily the truth. It doesn't follow that the consensus of Christianity, of Christians in some area, is necessarily the truth on that particular matter either. Instead, we have to go back to the data in both of these cases. What's the data in our scholarly field, science, nature, in historical studies, the data of history, and in Christianity, what the scripture actually says. We have to go back to the data in both cases. And again, this may mean loss of advancement in the one place or the other or both. And the question is, who are we really serving? Are we serving God, or are we out there trying to get a high position in one place or the other? Positivism. We may tend to identify scholarship with some sort of positivism. That's the idea that we must believe nothing we can't observe or test academically. But some problems may only be soluble by revelation. The Bible gives us warrant to believe, particularly in the book of Job, there are some questions that you're not likely to strike the right answer because you don't have enough information. There, Job and his friends did not have the information of what was going on in the unseen world. And the result was that they came to somewhat different conclusions on what was going on, but they were both way off the mark. Some problems may only be soluble by revelation. Others may have more than one possible solution, but the data is currently insufficient to make scholarship better than a guess. This is kind of the situation with Job and his friends, that they saw different solutions. One was that Job was really guilty of terrible wickedness, and now it was catching up with him, which seemed pretty good one. Good explanation to the friends with all this disaster happening to Job. Didn't seem to be a very good explanation to Job, because Job was inside himself, and he knew that he was not unusually wicked compared with other people. So he opted for another solution, but his solution was wrong too. Neither solution was better than a guess. Well, that may happen in lots of academic areas as well. Well, those are some of the tensions between scholarship and spirituality, but there are also some ways in which scholarship and spirituality mutually reinforce one another. Let's look at some of those. Well, for one thing, spirituality frees one from fear of other humans. If you fear God, you don't need to fear humans. If you're seeking to do what God wants you to do, you don't need to be afraid of what other people think about you. Well, if you think about it, the best scholarship is done when peer pressure can be ignored, when you can just pay attention to what the evidence looks like and not have to decide whether that's going to be acceptable to someone or another, whether that will cost you your position or your esteem or something else. There's a place in which spirituality reinforces scholarship. Scholarship is invaluable for understanding what Scripture really says. To know what Scripture really says, we need to know the original languages. We may not personally need to know the original languages, but we certainly need to depend upon people who do, in the sense of looking at various translations and reading commentaries and things like that. So it's very valuable for helping you to see what's really going on in the passage. It's a huge tendency for us to personalize material too quickly before we find out what the actual context was, what was going on, if you like. We need to know the culture and writing conventions of the original authors and audience. In saying these two things, and saying that scholarship is invaluable for understanding what Scripture really says, we need to realize that we're talking about true scholarship here, and that scholarship, as we saw before, can be influenced by peer pressure, can be influenced by consensus in a group that is badly messed up. For instance, there's a fairly wide consensus in much scholarship today that you don't need to take God into account, even in theological studies sometimes, and that can warp the results. But having said that, take that into account and aware of that problem, scholarship really is invaluable for understanding what Scripture says. Some more reinforcements. Spirituality gives us an absolute basis for diligence, honesty, truth-seeking, etc. Without these, scholarship cannot flourish. Scholarship isn't going to do much if the scholars are lazy. Scholarship isn't going to do much if the scholars are dishonest. Scholarship is not going to flourish if the scholars really aren't concerned about seeking truth. And yet for any individual, if you don't have the spirituality, if you aren't really trying to follow what the Spirit has said, if you aren't trying to care about what God says, then there'll be places where other things seem more important than diligence or honesty or truth-seeking. Spirituality gives us an absolute basis for the diligence, honesty, truth-seeking, etc. that scholarship needs to be able to flourish. Scholarship emphasizes freedom to investigate, the importance of believing only what is true. Those are things that sometimes get lost in people who think they are spiritual, but who aren't concerned about freedom to investigate and the importance of believing only what is true. Many people want to believe what they find to be pleasant, or want to decide that my teachers have investigated everything for me, I don't need to investigate anything. But both of these, freedom to investigate, importance of believing only what is true, are needed to advance in spirituality and to avoid two common problems in the modern church. One of the common problems, perhaps more characteristic of your more conservative churches, is excessive dogmatism. And realizing that we need a freedom to investigate, which doesn't mean to throw off what the basic teachings of Christianity are, but it does mean the freedom to investigate whether we haven't gotten into some traditional patterns that are not really scriptural. And the other problem is the refusal to practice doctrinal discipline. This is what has devastated what we might call the mainline, the more liberalizing churches in our modern society. And it essentially means that one has abandoned the importance of believing only what is true, or that one has accepted as true some things that really are not, and some things that are in conflict with what biblical Christianity is really about. So scholarship emphasizes some things that are needed to advance spirituality and to avoid these two common problems in the modern church. Well, that's a very quick tour of both some of the tensions and some of the reinforcements that exist between spirituality and scholarship. Christians need both spirituality and scholarship. Understood as a general method, rather than as an academic profession, scholarship is really a subset of Christian morality. It's the desire to know, the belief that you honor God by knowing, and the belief that God has given you the equipment to know things about how things really are. And in that sense, scholarship is a subset of Christian morality. Well, that's our talk today. If we seek to be scholars, and that's who this original talk was addressed to, may we be spiritual scholars.